Disrespect will take you places you can't get to from here. Disrespect entertains with a look at the challenges and sometimes the successes of people with disabilities who have taken from them or are denied the full choice of possibilities to affect for the better their own lives or the lives of those above them. Disrespect introduces Bruce Yudisky. He's a CEO of Alberta Association for Community Living and the parent of a son with developmental challenges. Bruce, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jeff. Happy to be here.
You had some disturbing news. Nevertheless, wasn't as bad as you thought, but still disturbing to Ontarians who don't know what their budget's going to be like yet.
Right.
It came down to you in the Alberta budget, and it was a cut to funding for people with developmental disabilities.
Yeah, we actually have gone through two recent major upheavals. Being in the last quarter of the current fiscal year, the department responsible for supports to adults with developmental disabilities tried to claw back about $11 million in total, which
Why?
Would have drastically affected the supports and services people were receiving.
You make it sound as if it was the department's idea?
Yes, it was. They, Alberta is, opposed to any deficits, and as it's been a very tight fiscal economy, wanted to restrain the funding for people with disabilities, and they made this effort, and there were major, besides our own efforts as families and service providers, there was major public opposition to the government's intention, and so they pulled back, actually, from those cuts.
Public input made a difference this time.
Yeah, this time it did make a difference. We had great media and consistent media coverage, and many Albertans were opposed to the government attempting to balance its books on the backs of more vulnerable Albertans. So that crisis somewhat abated, and then the new budget was announced for this coming April 1st, which is much better than we had anticipated.
All right.
We had been told there would be cuts in the range of 10 to 15%, which would have been devastating.
Right.
And I think because of the public advocacy campaign around the clawback, the government retreated from that position. And essentially, the budget amount is close to the same for this year as it was last year.
I see. So they haven't met their goal of no deficit. I saw an announcement in the paper. It's something like $4.7
billion. This coming year, they're projecting into the new year, they're projecting a budget of close to $5 billion, but they have a rainy day fund to offset that.
So when you say they're projecting a budget, you mean like a deficit?
A deficit, yes.
I must. Sorry. I was looking for the clipping here while we were talking. $4.7 billion, then. Yeah, which is big for Alberta.
Yeah, it's actually Alberta's largest deficit, I think, in its history. But we have no debt, and we do have a savings fund to compensate for that. For that shortfall.
That's basically the Heritage Fund from the oil, right?
Well, actually, two funds. The Heritage Fund is one, which they're not using, but they did create a new fund that we in Alberta call the Rainy Day Fund.
Oh, okay.
And some would say it's pouring at the moment.
Yeah. Well, when it hits the ground this time of year, it's slush, so there must be a slush fund.
Yeah, well, that's maybe that's a more appropriate name for it.
Okay. What kind of media got this kind of success? Because I think people in Ontario are looking for a way to pierce Dalton McGuinty's skull with information, and they haven't found any media that really reaches him.
Well, that's a really good question. I think we've built up very solid media relationships over the years.
Oh.
And they trust us, one, to know when a story is most likely to be newsworthy.
Oh.
And so they respond when we call them. And we had, you know, of course, the opposition parties, as one might expect, were aligned with us. And I think we had, you know, scathing editorials in our newspapers.
Oh, that helps.
Challenging the government's approach.
Right.
And basically we had the story highlighted in the media, print and radio and TV, you know, almost day after day.
Oh, everything. Okay.
Yeah.
So broadside, media broadside. And
right.
It stands on a foundation of years and years of work at building this relationship.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so we're quite pleased with, because, you know, in order for us to get our voice heard,
mm-hmm.
We really need the media, in effect, to ensure that the voice of those who, you know, can't typically be that public is also being represented.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder if we're going to face the same thing here in Ontario. Your rumor relaying machine worked very well in Alberta. I don't imagine you get any word of how this is regarded in the rest of the country as a major faux pas, probably, with all the media hoo-ha.
Well, we have had, I mean, some people that know us or follow things in terms of what we're doing have seen some of the intensity of the campaign effort by ensuring families and individuals with disabilities are front and center by having them tell their stories.
Yeah.
In effect, some of the budget complexities are difficult for people to follow, but
yeah.
When you see on the ground how it is hurting or potentially hurting someone who is vulnerable through no fault of their own, then the public seems to respond. So however conservative is Alberta tends to be ideologically and fiscally, there's still a streak, I guess, or a core element that says we're not going to do this on the backs of you know, people with disabilities. And the fact that our party is a bit, you know, the current party in power is a bit threatened by the new opposition party, the new Wild Rose Alliance.
Right.
And that makes them a bit more vulnerable to public pressure and critique.
Well, they need their centrist constituency, don't they? Because the Wild Rose Alliance is a socially right-wing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And in this instance has been, you know, very supportive, I think, in wanting to show that while they are, you know, fiscally conservative and have different ideas, they too are not planning on, you know, hurting this part of the social sector anyways.
Good. Is that a progressive conservative party in Alberta?
The one in power was historically a progressive conservative party and still has that in their name, but many would probably say it's sort of lost that element.
Yeah. Are you listening, Tim Hudak? That happened to us a few years ago, too, and we're still dealing with it. Well, what do you think the future holds for people who are interested in the welfare of people with disabilities? More advocacy, obviously, but politically and budget-wise, everybody's talking about retrenching. Social conservatism is in vogue, even with the Liberal Party, and I think people are biting their nails.
I think that's true and continues to be the case here. We will still have some cuts that have to be made over the next year in some sectors. We have to, I think, remain ever vigilant, can't let our guard down for the moment.
With that observation, we'll take a short musical break. We remind you, this is CFMU's 1 week a year when we raise funds for the station, on which it depends for your support. We'd like you to donate. $30 gets you a Friends of CFMU card that provides privileges at businesses around the city. You can find out which businesses and how many on our website. $60 gets you the card and a Raise Your Voice t-shirt. $20 up front or on top of the $60 gets you a choice from our donated CDs.
Hi, this is Alan Cross. I'm the program director at 102.1 The Edge in Toronto and the host of The Ongoing History of New Music, which is heard just about everywhere in the country. I got my start in campus radio. In fact, if it hadn't been for my time at Campus Radio, I probably wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now. This year, raise your voice in support of 93.3 CFMU. Pick up the phone and call 905-528-9888. Make a donation. Again, here's the number, 905-528-9888. Please join us as we help CFMU continue to redefine radio in Hamilton.
Now, Joe Louis Walker. Eyes like a cat. You've been listening to AACL CEO Bruce Yuditsky talk about cuts to funding for disability supports, particularly developmental disabilities in Alberta, and their implications for Alberta as well as Ontario.
In spite of the economic arguments we can make that reducing these supports results in increased costs over time, most governments operate on short-term vision, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So we need to we find it very effective, as others do, to have continuing relationships with the members of our legislature so that they know individuals and families.
Oh.
And that we can, when we need
to. How do you do that?
Well, we have, we're networked across thousands and thousands of individuals and families. We've had worked to develop a core of hundreds of families that are in leadership roles.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can ensure that literally every MLA is consistently visited by individuals and families. And so when this crisis hits, they know that they know the individuals or families, and they know that they're grassroots Albertans and are not just self-serving interests. And that causes a bit of discussion in caucus, I think, to our advantage.
Yeah, so you're using basically the 6 degrees of separation to initiate contacts with people you might not otherwise have access to.
Right. Yeah, we understand the necessity to be engaged politically, to, of course, acknowledge things that are being done well, as we should, and to be able to, act quickly when the situation warrants. And, you know, through those networks, when you have, for example, when my son's employer writes to his MLA, it adds a whole different dimension to it than when I'm writing as a parent.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, that's a very good path to follow. We would do well to observe that in Ontario and take advantage of similar initiative here. I don't think most people are aware. They don't usually come face-to-face with budget cuts, especially in discrete amounts like 10%, 15%, or what you may be facing now is nominally 2 or 3%, I think.
Right.
You said, right. What does a 10 or 15% cut mean in terms of funding for supports?
Well, it means for us, you know, increased waiting lists for people needing supports, which typically will result in some crises for some individuals and families. So by the time they enter a crisis and therefore are more likely to get support, they're much more difficult situations than would be true. Otherwise, families may be really stressed, at odds with each other, falling apart.
Right.
People may have no place to live, for example.
Right.
Because they've lost their residential accommodation. If they don't have the support to sustain their employment, then, you know, again, they may lose the place they're living and as well as their sense of self-worth and dignity and be poorer for the lack of that support. People are more vulnerable to abuse and neglect as a result of, you know, not having sufficient access to the supports they need to ensure their safety and protection.
Yeah.
So the cuts have, you know, dramatic effects for those that are most vulnerable to significant effects for those that may be less vulnerable but still reliant on some degree of support and assistance to have a decent life.
Yeah. And you've mentioned also that the nominally 2 to 3% cuts that you now face, when you take into account cost of living and rises in the prices of things, they amount to more like a 5% cut.
That's right. Government has certain cost increases it can't avoid.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it doesn't provide sustainable funding, actually, then each year the system is sort of scrambling to figure out where to minimize the impact of some cuts it has to make. So this doesn't allow for actually long-term planning, appropriate growth and development, and ensuring that some, you know, people don't fall through the cracks.
Right.
So this is, I think, a very bad way for government to actually manage its resources. And in our province, the most expensive resources are actually those operated by government. We still have a large institution in Alberta, unlike Ontario.
Large care institutions?
Developmental disabilities and people with mental health as well.
Okay.
So it costs 3 to 4 times as much to contain somebody in a poor quality environment than it does to support people to live in the community. So government seems to be willing to nickel and dime individual families and not make the adjustments in its own operations.
Well, we're still being nickeled and dimed. I mean, the supports aren't in the community for the people who've been released from institutions is what the what the popular view is at this point in time. And it's resulted in a rash since about 1995. It's resulted in a rash of homeless people on the streets.
Right, yeah.
And as one Albertan said to me at a bus stop, I think, year before last, he says, I didn't think it would be this cold here. He says, I've never been anywhere where my feet hurt. It's so cold. And I laughed. I said, that's the lake. That's the humidity that we have.
Right.
So it's not pleasant even here being on the streets
no,
at all.
It is. And we have a housing shortage and a shortage of accessible and affordable.
Yeah, I understand rents didn't go down much, even though the economy took a hit.
Not as much as would be helpful. So housing prices did drop for a while, but they're going back up again. So we need to look as a province at how to increase affordable and accessible housing. And there are some initiatives underway, but the problem is far from resolved.
Yeah. So what hits are you dealing with, in your mind, still to come as a result of this effective 5% cut? The same thing, more waiting time?
Yeah, we expect to see longer times to process people's requests for service, more people denied eligibility and having to appeal and contest that, waiting lists or situations where people get a little bit of what they need rather than what they
really need,
truly require. The larger fears are that the more innovative and progressive examples that are resulting in people having good lives and inclusive lives get cut, and we retreat to more congregated and segregated contexts. That hasn't happened yet. That's more of an apprehension than a reality yet.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of, the way you describe it, it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction to a contraction in funding.
It absolutely is, and I think it's distressing how quickly those knee-jerk reactions occur rather than sort of a collaboration around the creative ways to respond to limited resources.
Yeah. Is there anything that we haven't covered so far that you would like to expound on, or is there any way you'd like to summarize the effect and a warning for Ontarians about what's happened in Alberta and what might happen here?
Well, I think obviously in any period of fiscal restraint or the global recession we're in, we have to be extremely cautious about the values government brings to its budgeting processes. So potentially, if it hasn't happened here to the same degree,
we have a budget in March.
Yeah, well, sharing how the government came under such intense pressure.
Yeah.
For its efforts to slash funding, that maybe the government here would prefer to avoid that and work, positively with the disability community to ensure a better outcome in terms of its budget.
Sure. When's your next election provincially?
Oh, not for another 2 years or so.
Yeah, ours is next year.
Well,
so that might have an effect, too.
That typically does, and we're hoping in the time as we approach the next election, things will improve as they typically do.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, recovery, so forth, even if the price of oil doesn't go up, at least stability of the market will improve, and the mindset of the politicians will turn towards getting more votes when that time comes up.
Yeah, well, a part of Alberta's problem is we're so deficit resistant that we could raise another $10 billion in taxes and still be the lowest taxed province in the country.
Oh.
So there's a point at which I think we get excessive in terms of our lack of effort to actually secure revenues beyond oil and gas royalties. And to the extent that we don't have sufficient revenue actually to ensure stability in many sectors, including that of either education or social services.
Well, yeah, you've touched on another point that's coming up in Ontario again and again, is where are we going to get the revenue for our 20-some-odd billion-dollar deficit that we have, too? And there's a lot of back and forth about that. Now, I'm sure we'll get a hint in the budget, but we'll probably get another hint in the next budget next year, too.
Yeah.
Where do you think the answer is for Albertans?
Well, for Alberta, it's maybe a little easier. So whether, I mean, for example, our premier rescinded a tax on liquor that would have generated $180 million. Not sure who was really opposed to that. So essentially, we held a bottle drive for the government.
All right.
To try and raise funds for them, since they chose not to even sustain a tax in that context.
So even sin taxes, they haven't tapped the barrel yet.
No, no. So we have some room here to maneuver in Alberta that may not be true elsewhere, where we could generate more revenue without really putting our economy off much at all, and be in a more stable position in terms of planning for the future. And quite clearly, the more we do to engage community to increase employment, for example, for people with disabilities, our employment rates are still pretty abysmal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the result of which would be people are contributing to the economy and less dependent on government resources. But getting a real commitment to that end seems to be difficult.
Well, Dalton McGuinty has overseen our fall to the status of a have-not province, and I'm sure he'll be looking with pleasure at your attempts to maximize revenue and increase the amount of money you have available to pour into his coffers.
Always glad to help.
But I hope you have enough money to satisfy your wish to protect the dignity of the people in Alberta before you are called upon to support the dignity of other people in Canada.
Yeah, well, that's how most Albertans would see it, I think.
Okay.
They'd want to do that first and then contribute.
Okay, so we won't be getting any letter bombs for the show from Alberta this time.
No, not unless we started to discuss how we could pillage Alberta.
Pillage Alberta. Oh, well, that's another show.
Yeah, okay.
For sure. Yeah, I appreciate
another strategy.
You mentioned, Bruce, that you might be willing to help people who were interested in orchestrating this kind of a media relationship that you have.
Yeah, I'd be very happy to do that. I think we ran a fairly successful campaign. Most people said the information we put out was the clearest information, the best source of information they could find.
Wow.
Media knew to turn to us regularly to get background, as did the legislative members in terms of asking questions and putting out their own press releases. So I think we could, should anybody wish, be helpful in describing our campaign and advising on other public advocacy efforts.
So you're talking about other groups getting in touch with yours, and how would they do it?
Well, they could either email me, check our website, or call.
All right.
So our website is www.aacl.org.
Okay.
And that's probably the easiest way for most people to do it.
Okay. And I guess on the website they could get the other information about calling and so forth.
Yes. Yeah, that's what should be possible.
Okay. I appreciate your time with us on the show, and especially while you're in a conference in Toronto. It's very generous.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thanks again, Bruce.
All right. Take care, Jeff.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to AACL CEO Bruce Yuditsky talk about cuts to funding for disability supports, particularly developmental disabilities in Alberta, and their implications for Alberta as well as Ontario.
Hi, this is Steve Sinnix. This year, raise your voice in support of 93.3 CFMU. Pick up the phone and call 905-528-9888 to make a donation. Please join us as we help 93.3 CFMU continue to redefine radio in our community.